is going to visit Earth. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Good job. Good job. Heaven is going to visit Earth. It's done it before, hasn't it? Well, Jesus came to Earth where? From heaven. However, it was invisible. He was somehow made into a group of reproducing cells clung in a wall of blood to Mary's uterus, and nobody saw it happen. But of course, those were the days of his humiliation, so we didn't have this. Even then, though, yeah, right, even so, there were still signs. There was a dove came out of heaven, singular, out of the air, the birds of the air, as we talked about yesterday, the fowls of the air, Matthew 6:26, Matthew 8:20, Matthew 13:32, Mark 4:32. One of those fowls came and alighted on his shoulder. So that's a little less insistent, I would say, than the stars of heaven falling. But again, these were the days of his humiliation. It wasn't as stupendous as it's going to be. Whatever you saw back then, multiply it by 10,000, and you'll have an indication of the signs in the heavens that we are going to see. But again, it wasn't without testimony. We had the dove. We had the star that led the wise guys, as I called them when I was a kid, the three wise guys to Christ. It was a some kind of alignment of the planets that brought them. So there was a sign in heaven. The shepherds in the fields on the night of his birth saw messengers, angels in the air, in heaven. We're going to see that the singular is used almost exclusively in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, because in the singular, we are seeing visible manifestations in that part of the atmosphere that is contiguous to the earth, that is, that touches the earth, that is the immediate air, the heavens, where the birds fly, and where the lightning flashes, left off there yesterday, Luke 17:24. The lightning comes under heaven. James 5:8. Hail comes down from heaven, not heavens. That's the unveiling, 16:21. Heaven is the home of the clouds. The immediate clouds, the puffy cumulonimbus thingies that you see, and the wispy cirrus clouds, cumulonimbus, thunderclouds, all in heaven. Matthew 24:30, 26:64, Mark 14:62. Never is the occurrence of heaven in the plural. So it's evident that the heaven in Scripture, even to an unscientific mind, let alone a scientific one, should make this distinction, but they don't. That heaven in Scripture is limited to that part of heaven which is touching the earth. That's the sphere of its influence. And we see this again in Scripture with phrases like a voice from heaven. That is, it can be heard. It's moving through the atmosphere. Luke 3:22, a voice from heaven. John 12:28, 2 Peter 1:18, unveiling 11:12. We see fire from heaven. There's not fire in heaven. There's no oxygen. I once saw a funny drawing. I had a kid's book about outer space, Jules Verne or something, I don't know, and it showed these guys on the moon, and they had a campfire on the moon. They're roasting marshmallows and hot dogs on the frickin' moon. But you can't, because there's no oxygen, you can't light a fire. So there's fire doesn't, it may descend from the heavens, but not even so. It's always heaven. It's always singular. I'm not going to add to the Word of God. I'm not going to put an S there where it doesn't belong. The heavens is a far, far greater thing. It speaks of creation. It speaks of the realm that is above the heavens. Epi Oranos, on top the heavens. Maybe I have Oreos on the brain. See how earthly I am? See, I'm in the singular heaven here, folks, not the plural yet, but where our destination is the celestial realm, which is Epi Oranos, which is on heavens, which is to be distinguished from where the birds fly, where the lightning flashes, where the fire burns. You're not going to roast marshmallows on the moon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. So the stars that, and here to more, to get to our point here in the unveiling, we're speaking of the stars of heaven falling. It's easy to understand how the sun could be darkened. You could just get an eclipse maybe, or the clouds, but stars falling from heaven? But we see references to the stars from heaven in Matthew 24:29 and Mark 13:25. And again, we're seeing it in the unveiling chapter 6. These are not the stars from heaven that science would say are stars, would recognize as stars. That is, those stars which make up the zodiac, which make up the constellations, like Orion, the Big Dipper, the Southern Cross here in the Southern Hemisphere, Betelgeuse, whatever star you can think of. I don't know all their names. Regulus is one of them, the King Star. These are the stars of the heavens. These are the stars of the constellations. We're going to look at the Greek word here in a second. Okay, but it's striking that in the unveiling, everything is limited to the heaven. It's true that there are convulsions in the heavens, and the heavens are shaken, but these phenomena occur in the visible realm, and that is heaven singular. In fact, heaven in the singular is mentioned over 50 times in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Only one time in the unveiling. Chapter 12, verse 12, is heaven plural. And it talks about the inhabitants of the heavens, that is, the celestial beings celebrating over the occurrences in the singular heaven. One time. And notable that in Paul's evangel, it's just the opposite. In Paul's evangel, it's reversed. He always uses heavens, and only once does he use heaven in the singular, when he's referring to the scope of the proclamation of the creation evangel under heaven. But every other place it's heavens, because Paul is Mr. Elevate the Viewpoint. Paul is Mr. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. In the heavens. Our realm is inherent in heaven. In heaven. People want to go to heaven. Not me. I want to go to heavens. I want to go to the celestial realm. I'm starting to talk like a Baptist. I think if I start to talk like a Baptist, I will inspire some people who don't get excited unless I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All right. Enough of that crap. So when we see a phrase like heaven and earth, we're going to limit it now, aren't we? It's limited to the earth and the contiguous heaven. That is the heaven that touches the earth, that borders it. We're not going to be thinking of creation at large when we see the phrase heaven and earth. We're only seeing the influences that can touch our senses. Which is not to say that there are places in Scripture where the heavens are affected. I mean, when the heavens and the earth are going to explode with fire. This earth is going to go. The heaven is going to go. Things like that. All right. Do I have? Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about now the Greek word aster. A-S-T-E-R. This is the word that's translated star. But it's a very broad word. I'm going to show you how broad it is. We have to be very careful with this. An interesting form of this word is astron. A-S-T-R-O-N. This is where we get our word asteroid. The root word is Greek, aster, which is the word translated star in the Concordant version and in other versions, I would guess. I haven't checked the King James on this. But one form of this word aster is astron, and it's a group of stars. We find this in Luke 21:25, Acts 7:43, and Acts 7:27 and Acts 7:20. It has to do with the groups. As I mentioned earlier, like the Big Dipper, astrology, what do you call those things? Yeah. The constellations. No, the astrology thing. I don't know. It just left me there, but it's groups of stars that are not touched. These are not the stars that are falling from heaven. Critical. Any speck of incandescent dust, what do we call it? Make a wish upon a star. Makes no difference who you are. All right. Thanks, Jiminy Cricket. That would be a shooting star. But a shooting star isn't a star, is it? It's not the last end of the handle of the Big Dipper coming off. It's not the bottom left-hand corner of the pot of the Little Dipper flying into space. The zodiac, that's what I was looking for. That's the Yeah, the stars of the zodiac. That's the word I was looking for earlier. So a shooting star, we use that as a general term, but I used to think that that was an actual star. It's like, what the heck? How can that happen? But it's not. So it can apply, you can see that we should not hesitate to apply that term, that word aster, star, to any luminous object in the sky, even a speck of dust. A speck of dust hits the Earth's atmosphere at a fantastic speed, and it starts to burn up, and it begins to form a tail. And it, I don't know if you can hear it. Yeah, sure, I've heard it. Yeah, great, fantastic. It's a shooting star. It's not the Belt of Orion. It's not the Southern Cross. Those are constellations, Asteron constellations. The constellations aren't falling. Asteron isn't falling. Aster is falling. Aster is a general term. It can be the stars of the heavens, that is the constellations, but it can also be any iridescent body that comes from space. And again, we have no problem calling these specks of dust that meet the Earth's atmosphere stars, shooting stars. So, in contrast to that, to close up here, in contrast to the stars of heaven is the phrase, the powers of the heavens. And again, that is found in Luke 21:26. So the powers of the heavens are shaken. And the result is that the stars of heaven fall to earth. And convulsions of nature like this have happened before. There have been meteor showers in the past that have made people think that the end of the world was here. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the Leonids. It's a great bunch, if I can use a scientific term there, of meteors and asteroids, whatever you want to call them, shooting stars. And people thought it was the end of the world. What it is an indication that the heavens are a little loosey-goosey out there, and that at any given time, God can pull the trigger and send myriads of heavenly bodies from space into the heaven, the atmosphere of the Earth, to create what we would call a shooting star. But the extent to which this is going to happen when the sixth seal is open, it has never been seen before, but we have seen hints of it. Tomorrow, I'm going to take you back to November 13th, 1833. We're going to do some research on that, research that I've already done, and we're going to give it to you tomorrow. Folks, yeah, lift up your heads. Do it now before the world is going to do it en masse out of fear. Lift up your heads now in worship and adoration of the God of all creation, because your redemption does draw nigh.